And I'll say this, because I've had some people that are like, man, they get so worked up about all this and they just want to talk about it, focus on it, study it, read books on it, read blogs on it, go in this deep dive. The reason that I believe that we don't have more details, more information, is because it's irrelevant. Because if God wanted us to have the information, he would have given it to us. He gives us just enough to understand there's something bigger going on. To your point earlier, there's something from his perspective that he's taking care of in this moment. And the reason why we're like, this is a mystery, we have questions, God goes, yeah, I don't think you need to know all that other information other than you can trust me.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Today, Chad, I'm going to ask you a very challenging question, and I'm just going to sit back and let you try and solve this one that I think people genuinely—
Okay, wait. Should I be nervous or excited or should I just walk out right now?
Trust, Chad. You can trust me. I'm not gonna set you up for failure here, but I am gonna push us to have a tough conversation. Yeah.
Anytime somebody says trust me, there needs to be a little oh no.
Yeah, there should be a pause there. There should be an eyebrow that goes up.
Okay, I'm go ahead.
All right. So growing up, hearing different stories in the Bible, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect. And I know people have had this conversation, they've asked this question, I've had people ask me this question. Sometimes you read the Old Testament and it seems like God's really angry, and there's moments where God wipes out, you know, all the earth except for one family in this great flood. There's moments that God says, yeah, go in and destroy, you know, all the people and the cattle and all of that. We're making room for the promised land. And you have these moments that it seems like God's really angry, and yet you come to Sun Valley and we stand up on stage and we say, hey, we've read the Bible. God loves you no matter who you are, what you've done, what's been done to you. How do you reconcile where it seems like sometimes God's really angry in the Old Testament, and then you have the person of Jesus and you have the New Testament, and is this the same God? Is God schizophrenic? Is there, you know, how do you reconcile these two things? Chad, you have 20 minutes, go.
Yeah. So in Bible college, I literally had this thought. So the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament is Matthew. And there is a 400-year gap between those two writings. So for 400 years, there's no scripture written. It's like God's
there,
not—
There was no prophets that God had raised up and commissioned to speak on his behalf. There's just silence.
Yeah, it's like God's in a timeout. It's quiet time for 400 years. And I literally, in the context of the question you just asked me, I literally had this thought in Bible college. I thought, maybe in that 400 years, he went to therapy.
He changed his mind on
right?
that.
Right? Yeah. And he just, you
on
know,
humanity.
Was a whole lot nicer in the New Testament, which right now that's a joke. That's not disrespectful, even if it sounded that way. I think everybody has that question. Mm-hmm. Why is God in the Old Testament, specifically God the Father, seemingly such a jerk? Mm. Because we have limited perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like he's so mean, and yet Jesus is so nice, you know? And I had thoughts just in my journey of yes on Jesus— I don't know who I want to talk to God the Father that much. And I even had thoughts of God the Father is really mad at me. So a good thing I got Jesus, you know, to kind of cover me and stick up for me.
Yeah. Stand in the gap, kind of create a little space.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so as time went on, you realize God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit are one God.
Yeah.
And so when we see Jesus, we're seeing God the Father. Mm-hmm. Jesus literally said, I don't do anything that the Father doesn't do.
Yeah. He says, when you see me, you've seen him. He connects the two.
100%. And one of the things we teach here at Sun Valley, it's because it's what the Bible teaches. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, Robert, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think our biggest problem with God— and this is anybody on the planet, no matter what background you come from, whether you've been a Christian your whole life or whether you're brand new or whether you don't know what you believe about these things or whether you think it's all goofy, our biggest problem with God, no matter who you are, our biggest problem with God is we're not him. Mm-hmm. He's going to do things that we wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. He's going to even say things that we wouldn't say. And the reason that is because we have very limited perspective.
Yeah.
We are finite and he is infinite. And so, you know, we find ourselves in our lack of understanding, shaking our little bitty fist in the massive face of an almighty God. And so because we have limited perspective, there's going to be tons of things that seemingly look mean and maybe even from a human perspective are, mm-hmm. but they're for the ultimate good of mankind. And I think there's a lot of things in the Old Testament like that. Yes, there's tragic things happening in that moment, but those tragic things need to happen so that the ultimate good mm-hmm. can prevail. And that's a really hard thing to understand.
Yeah.
And so maybe let's kick that around.
Well, and I do want to say this, because we just kind of made this blanket statement, you know, Old Testament versus New Testament. Yeah. God seems angry. God is very gracious throughout the Old Testament. He is incredibly patient. In fact, when he's describing himself, it's gracious and mm-hmm. long-suffering. And that is true. But it's easy to pick out kind of those extreme cases and go, well, that seems inconsistent. Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about the flood. Well, gosh, that seems like that's not a lot of patience and grace and all of that. Yet when you understand the context of what's going on, again, you mentioned perspective, you go, okay, there was some kind of evil going on in the world that was unlike anything that had gone on before. And we can have a conversation about that, but God is actually preserving mankind.
Yeah.
He's not destroying mankind.
Well, let's go with that for a second. And first of all, let me apologize for this, because Christians are really goofy about the flood.
Yeah.
For example,
I don't know where you're going with
well,
this.
We've made it cute, mm-hmm. right? We put Noah's Ark on preschool walls and animals.
With a couple giraffe coming out of the top of the boat.
And, yeah, yep. 2x2. And anybody that knows the Bible's going, wait a second, you guys put the story of when God destroyed mankind,
yes.
except for this one family, and you're putting it on the preschool walls and making it cute? Like, mm-hmm. that's weird. But there's a lot of things about the Bible we're so familiar with, we're unfamiliar. And the account of, it's not a story, it's an account. The account of Noah and the flood is real. And it was tragic. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to add this sidebar. By the way, lots of ancient traditions have stories of a flood. Mm-hmm. They might give different names and things like that. But the reason that that's common across the world is because there was a flood. Mm-hmm. And so people have come up with stories about that. We believe that, yes, there was a flood. Yes, it did destroy the earth. Yes, both mankind and animals had a restart. I don't fully understand all of that. I just know that it's true. And it seems that even fossils and archaeology and all those things point to a flood. Mm-hmm. Or gajillions and gajillions and gajillions and gajillions of years of time and pressure, and it was weird in different places and all of that. But lots of things point to a flood.
There's a lot of geological evidence for a worldwide flood, things that can't be explained that even scientists are going, yeah, you know, this probably is the best explanation for why we have.
Well, and a flood is part of ancient history across the world.
Yeah.
Even if it has different names and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, why the flood?
Okay.
All of the Bible's about Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, all of the Old Testament, by the way, if you're wondering, what's the difference? Well, the New Testament is Christian and the Old Testament is Jewish, mm-hmm. but Christianity is born out of Judaism mm-hmm. because, just to let everybody know, Jesus was Jewish. Mm-hmm. He was a Hebrew. And so in the Old Testament Jewish scriptures, there are at least 300 distinct prophecies about an anointed one, mm-hmm. a coming Savior. The Hebrew word is Messiah. The Greek word is Christ.
Which is where you get Christianity.
Mm-hmm. A coming Savior. That would be born. Mm-hmm. And there's at least 300 distinct prophecies in the Jewish scriptures about that coming Savior, where he would be born, Bethlehem, in some ways the time that he would be mm-hmm. born.
And the prophecies in Daniel, it almost – here's the shot clock. When this happens, you can start a timer and the Messiah is going to show up.
Well, the reason that there are wise men coming from the east in the account of Jesus' birth is because they're reading Daniel's prophecies from the Old Testament.
Yeah, and Daniel, who was exiled to Babylon, to the east, stayed in Babylon. And so he would have been saying, hey, this is what God revealed to me, and would have taught it to people. And they would have known, man, when the decree is given to go rebuild Jerusalem, we could start our watches. And we know that after this many hundreds of years, the Messiah is going to show up. And so they were waiting and watching for the sign that the Messiah was here.
Well, that's an amazing part of the Christmas account that mm-hmm. most people
yeah.
miss, right? They're like, how did these Asian people know? And may or may not have been Asian, but they're from the East. Mm-hmm. We know that. And they're reading, shockingly, right, Babylonian prophecy mm-hmm. that was written by a Jewish man named Daniel, mm-hmm. who was put in authority and come to find out those prophecies are correct. And that's leading them to Jesus. So 300 distinct prophecies mm-hmm. in the Old Testament, all fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So the point that I'm making here is all of the Bible is about Jesus.
Yes.
If you read the doctrinal statement on our website at Sun Valley, it says that mm-hmm. all of the Bible's about Jesus because the Bible is a prophetic book. Mm-hmm. Some prophecies have come to pass. The others, we're waiting for
about a fourth of the Bible is prophetic.
Yeah. Well, frankly, we won't necessarily get into this on this podcast, but a lot of what's happening in the Middle East right now is a fulfillment of prophecy. It is as he said it would be mm-hmm. in the scriptures. And so now we're watching it unfold. And actually, I think it will exponentially increase, not necessarily meaning violence, although that's going to be part of it. The fulfillment of prophecy, I think we're in a season where we're going to see exponential increase in fulfillment of prophetic things.
Which while we're going there, one of the prophecies Jesus makes in Matthew 24 is that the gospel would go out to all the world. Mm-hmm. Well, when he said that, people went, oh, you mean to like Rome? Because to them, that was all the world. Well, we now know the world is a pretty big place and there's lots of people groups and there's languages and that we haven't even reached yet, but we know they exist. You know, you have people in Ecuador or in New Guinea and you have these tribes and we're just learning different dialects and all of that. We will, for some who are listening, in our lifetime, we will be alive when all of the Bible has been translated into every language of every people group. That is happening right now. Jesus said that would happen before the end comes. And here we are in this season in history where that prophecy is coming true that Jesus said, no, it's going to go out to all the world. Well, the gospel's almost gone out to all the world. Mm-hmm. It is happening. We are living in a time of a fulfillment of prophecy. So back to where we are with the flood.
Every tribe, tongue, nation.
Yep.
Yeah. So the flood, all of the Bible's about Jesus. Well, in Genesis 3, you have the fall of mankind. Mm-hmm. Sin is entering into the picture, and there's a prophecy there.
Yep.
And the prophecy is that woman will give birth to one who will crush the head of the serpent.
Yep.
Okay. Well, the one that's going to crush the head of the serpent is the devil, and the one is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you actually have prophetic Easter statement right out of the gate in the scriptures, literally in the first two or three pages.
Yeah.
And so that prophetic statement is unrolling throughout the pages of the Old Testament and unfolding all the way into the New.
And more details being given all throughout the Old Testament of this Savior, of who that Savior is going to be, where he's going to be born, to your point earlier, where he's going to live, how he's going to die. Even crucifixion is prophesied. All of it is given so that we could know. It's like God's writing out the address to know this is the Savior. This is the one at the very beginning when things first went bad. This has always been the plan, and that plan is Jesus. Sorry, continue.
No, that's all right. So it'll come through the bloodline of man, mm-hmm. which brings us to Noah. Mm-hmm. During the time of Noah, and this is a mystery, there's some weird things happening.
Some really weird things happening.
It seems that angelic beings are somehow mating with human women, and as a result, there's a line of people that are born that are quote-unquote giants. Mm-hmm. The term for them is Nephilim, almost like, and this is weird, and I've taught this before, and I feel uncomfortable teaching it, but this is how I see it. They're almost like and this is Greek, not Bible, but like demigods. Mm-hmm. Like you have giants in the land, you have humans, but they're not human. Mm-hmm. There's something different about them, odd. And God steps in.
And there's an evil to it as well. And even the description of the world. I mean, it's everybody always does evil all the time. It's not just a like, oh yeah, people are fallen and all that. Like there is something demonic going on at this time. And I sat down with a Bible scholar, a doctor who studies Old Testament. And I said, hey, explain to me the Nephilim. And for about 30 minutes, he talked and then he goes, yeah, I don't totally get it. Yeah. He spent his whole life studying this. And he's like, yeah, there is some mystery to it.
Well, I think we need to wrap our minds around this. And this is why I've had professors do the same thing. This is why it's hard for us to grasp. The world was different. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when God did the flood, he changed the atmosphere of the world. Mm-hmm. because it had never rained up to that point.
Yeah, the waters broke free from above and below.
Yeah, it's different. Mm-hmm. In that time, dew came up from the ground. There was no water coming from the sky, which means God changed the sky. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just that there was a flood. It's that God changed the ecological system on this planet to where it was different. So it's hard to wrap our minds around. But it seems that something demonic became a normal part, not just sinful, not just sin nature, but demonic genetics of mm-hmm. some kind of weird way became part of the human bloodline. There's evil everywhere. It's way out of control. And so God's like, we're going to fulfill this prophecy. I'm going to have to wipe all of this out.
And you have a faithful person with a faithful family, and God says, I'm going to preserve humanity through that family.
And that's Noah and his family. And it doesn't mean they were perfect, mm-hmm. But it means they were faithful enough, mm-hmm. right, to make the cut. And so this tragic thing happens. God changes the atmosphere of the planet. He changes everything. Now it rains. But the first rainstorm was a long one, mm-hmm. and it lasted a long time. No wonder my dog at my house hates the rain, right? I think there's something in him, right, from long ago. Not really, but it changed. Mm-hmm. Life expectancies.
Yeah, in the Bible, had people living up to 1,000 years prior to this moment.
Oh, man, it's like they live forever. And then all of a sudden after the flood, the life expectancies, people lived considerably shorter times on this planet.
And God tells Moses, I'm going to put a limit. I'm going to put numbers on people's days.
Well, okay, so you look at that and you're like, well, what happened? Well, the atmosphere changed. Mm-hmm. Planet's not like it was before the flood. And somehow that decreases the longevity of man. Mm-hmm. So anyway...
So this act that seems like it's God just getting upset and deciding, you know, I'm going to throw lightning bolts down on people, is actually, it's an act of grace. It's an act of preserving and keeping the promises that God made in Genesis 3.
Yeah. And I think it's keeping the promises that God made in Genesis 3, but specifically, I think literally he's protecting the bloodline. Mm-hmm. I think he's wiping out this weird thing that's a mystery that we don't quite understand. He's wiping it out from existence. I actually think something happened in the heavenlies, where God limited demonic activity on the planet. Now, demons are still active, but I think God wiped out something there. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, but that would have to be the case. Mm-hmm. If something different was happening then and it's not happening as much now, then God put a limit or some kind of stop gap on that.
And I'll say this, because I've had some people that are like, man, they get so worked up about all this and they just want to talk about it, focus on it, study it, read books on it, read blogs on it, go in this deep dive. The reason that I believe that we don't have more details, more information, is because it's irrelevant. Because if God wanted us to have the information, he would have given it to us. He gives us just enough to understand there's something bigger going on. To your point earlier, there's something from his perspective that he's taking care of in this moment. And the reason we're like, this is a mystery, we have questions, God goes, yeah, I don't think you need to know all that other information other than you can trust me.
Let me say one thing on the weird mm-hmm. that is in the realm of somewhat irrelevant, but I think it points to a weird reality even in the modern world mm-hmm. that people don't think about. And then we'll talk about the relevance of all this. I was in a bookstore 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm walking around. I love bookstores. Mm-hmm. I love books. I read all kinds of books.
Which I'm amazed. I was thinking, man, maybe books are going away. But if you go to bookstores, there's people in them all over the place.
Hey,
and
man.
People still love – Chad and I have a little disagreement when it comes to books. But yeah, I do enjoy it.
Robert cheats. He listens to them.
It's
I read them.
It's still reading the book if I'm listening to the book.
No, it's listening to a book. Reading is something else. Anyway, there is a section in the bookstore.
I feel like I want to go back to this. Okay, so here is why listening to a book is the same
really?
As reading. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
you're that petty.
Yeah, I am that petty.
All right.
Because people are listening right now, and I feel like I need to make this statement. I'm watching this great series right now, and it's based on a book, and it's about this blind girl, and it's during World War II and all that. Anyhow, and she's reading this book on the airwaves to people, and she's using Braille to read Jules Verne.
Is it All the Light We Cannot See?
Oh, yeah.
I read that book, Robert. I didn't listen to it. I read it.
I read that book, too. Actually, I think you gave me a copy of that book.
Yeah.
And I read it on real pages. Anyhow, she's reading with her hands. It's Braille. She's feeling, but she's still reading it, and she's speaking it. People are reading it through the radio. Mm-hmm. It's all reading. If she can read it without seeing, then I can read it without seeing by just listening to
it. Wonderful.
Them.
So I'm in the bookstore.
Yes.
There is a there. Hey, man, I'm for whatever gets information in your brain, and mine too. The right information that we can think about and disseminate. There is a section in the bookstore called listen to the paranormal teen romance.
Yeah,
it's a whole freaking section.
Yeah.
Okay. Stop. Let's stop. Just think about that for a whole section.
Yes.
Called paranormal.
So all the like Twilight teen series romance and all of that. Yep.
Yeah. And I see it and I'm like, how freaking weird are we?
That we have a whole section.
That there are all these fiction stories mm-hmm. about paranormal
romance.
Teen romance. Okay. Specifically, beings that drink blood and have supernatural abilities having sex with women and young girls. Why does that even exist? Mm-hmm. And yet I can show you in the Bible, well, it's because back here something like that was happening. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say that. Here's what makes all of it relevant, okay? It looks like God's really pissed off at mankind, and so he's, you know, mercurial and moody, mm-hmm. and he's just like, well, screw it. So he does that. That's not it at all. He's preserving mankind. Mm-hmm. And he's doing something that is 100% necessary so that ultimately he can save mankind. God has the balcony view. Mm-hmm. He is infinite in every way. And we're very, very finite. And so, again, we shake our little bitty fist in his massive face. I'm going to give the illustration that
I was going to ask you to. So yeah, you're already ahead of me on it.
It's like there are ants in my backyard, and I love the ants. And
A weird setup already.
Yeah, it is. But go with the illustration. Okay. I love the ants, and let's say, well, this is happening in my yard right now. We're getting fake grass put in. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's low maintenance, and I'm all about that. So anyway, so we're having fake grass put in. There's an ant pile, and let's say I really love the ants. So I'm going to rescue all of antdom, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to rescue all the ants. So I'm digging up the ant pile and moving it. Well, in the process of digging up the ant pile and moving it, lots of ants are dying. Mm-hmm. The ants are really tiny. I'm really big. They have no concept of what I'm doing or why.
The world's absolutely chaos.
Oh, man, it's turned upside mm-hmm. down. Why does this being hate us so much? Mm-hmm. But I'm moving the ant pile because ultimately I'm rescuing the ants for generations to come because fake grass is going to be put there and the ants would never survive that. Mm-hmm. And so I move the ants and they have no concept of who I am. An ant is a tiny little being compared to me. The only way an ant can understand the height, breadth, width of who I am, right, my personality, would be for me to wrap myself up in the body of an ant and become one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm limiting my capacity. I'm limiting what I really am, but I'm doing it because I love the ants and I want them to understand my personality, intellect, feelings, and will. This is what God did in the person of Jesus. There are lots of things in the Old Testament that are on this massive grand scale and it looks horrible, mm-hmm. but it's actually an act of his goodness because he's rescuing us, even though there are human beings that are going to die. God's bigger than death. Even though there's going to be a moving of people, God's bigger than that movement. God is in the infinite, higher than we can possibly understand reality, where he sees what we can't see, he knows what we don't know. And in the New Testament, in the person of Jesus, we see his heart.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the answer to that long lasting, difficult question of why does God seem so different in the two? Here's why, because we have such limited understanding in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and we have such a fulfillment of prophecy in the New Testament that was solely designed for us to understand who he is. And all of it's about Jesus. So if you're wrestling with God, mm-hmm. One, you're wrestling because you're a sinner and you're not him and you don't like it. So that's a real issue. But two, if you're wrestling with who he is, then you always look at the person of Jesus, because in the person of Jesus, the heart of God is revealed.
Yeah. And I would add to that, one of the other challenges from our perspective is the story's not over yet. And so there's still chapters yet to be written.
Yeah.
Where Jesus says, I'm making all things new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God's dwelling will be with mankind. God is restoring what was broken by sin. Ultimately, where all of this is leading, the flood, the promised land and the, you know, everything you see in the Old Testament, the arrival of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit moving, every moment that God waits to bring an end. It's time that people can repent and put their trust and their faith in him and be saved. He's patient, not wanting anybody to perish. Ultimately, the story is leading to a new heaven and a new earth where everything that's wrong and evil and bad is undone. And all, now you have eternity where it's exactly as God's designed it to be. And sometimes when we're just, I'm living in today, I don't see that end. I see the problems of today. I see the challenges of today. And it causes me to question God. To take that balcony view to go, okay, this is where this is all headed. This is where this is all leading, gives us great hope and great peace even in the midst of difficult times.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And God hates sin. Mm-hmm. He does. He hates it because sin hurts people. Sin is outside of his holiness. It's outside of his design. And sin always destroys. And God's not in the destruction business. Mm-hmm. He's actually in the life-giving business. That's why he created us. Mm-hmm. But he is going to have to destroy some things. And one of the things that he will destroy in his grace is evil. Mm-hmm. The destruction of evil is an act of God's grace. And he is patient and long-suffering because he wants to rescue and love all of us. He wants to destroy evil, and he doesn't want us to be part of it. And so to your point, he's giving as many people as he possibly can the opportunity to receive his grace. Because he can destroy evil ultimately without destroying me. Because the blood of Jesus and God's love, mercy, and amazing grace covers me. That's the gospel.
Which is why we can say God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, God loves you. And he's demonstrated that love. And we know that through the person and the work of Jesus. And yeah, he invites you to put your trust in him. Chad, thanks for answering a really tough question.
Yeah, thank you, man. Go listen to a book about it after.
Well, I will. I will go read a book with my ears. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People